When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast. Get out of Hello everybody, welcome back to the Cop Hype Podcast. It's a positive episode today, which we are absolutely fucking buzzing about, because for the first time in a long time we're very positive about the result. But yeah, Liverpool have defeated Aston Villa's under twos 4-1. Which is absolutely brilliant. Tim, how are you feeling right now, pal? Are you feeling okay, considering where we were about an hour and a half ago?
I think there was about a 20-25 minute spell where I think we looked and created chances like we have done for the last 2 years. But I thought for the first half, after we scored the goal, it smelt like the West Brom game all over again. I thought that we were dominant in possession and stuff like that, but we weren't really creating any real chances where you thought, oh, we should have scored, or we should have scored from that. I'm feeling much more confident. I'm happy Mane and Salah got on the score sheet. That's brilliant. You know, I think Gini took his goal really well. And I think for me, my stand-up performer was Taki. I thought he was brilliant tonight. I really did.
Yeah, Mick, I mean, when you look at the game, the way it started, you know, Manny gets that goal in the fourth minute and you think, right, this was the script, wasn't it? Because we all thought that this was going to be, you know, a goal fest and all that sort of stuff, which obviously there was a few goals come the end of it. But when you look at the way the game started, we thought, right, we're going 1-0 up, super. That's the way it's going to go now. We'll get a goal every couple of minutes now, or we'll get a goal every 10 minutes. And then didn't quite turn out like that, did it, in that first half?
No, and it was obvious what was going to happen. We were gonna get an early goal. It was always going to happen. It was always going to be us having, like, what? I think we had like 83% possession in the first half, or some 80 something, which was obviously to be expected with their lineup, because they were, I think the average age was like 18 and a half or something like that, which is mental. Mm. But yeah, they acquitted themselves really well. You've got to be honest. Like, I know we're not in great form attacking wise. So you could have thrown an under five teams like up against us there, and we would have probably struggled to break them down in the current form we're in. But we got that goal, and they done really well. And then that goal they scored towards the end, like, it highlights Reece Williams' lack of pace, which is like our centre half usually, Van Dijk and Gomez and Matip, but all pretty quick. So when you don't have them. Yeah, Reece Williams is a good player. I'm not going to slate him, whatever else, for that. But he's on the wrong side of that. Their fella, he gets in behind him really well. That shows the pace, and what a finish it was. Like, I think he's only 17, that kid, and he's like signed from Barcelona, and what a finish.
Yeah, I saw a thing earlier where it said James Milner was actually playing at Villa Park while Barry's mum was pregnant. So that's just sums everything up, really, doesn't it? So that just sums the game up. But obviously, staying on the first half, Tim, when you look at it, how the game progressed, the longer it went on where we didn't get a second goal, it's just adding more pressure, more fuel to the fire for what rival fans are saying about us at the minute. The negativity that's flowing around social media at the minute surrounding Liverpool because of these lacklustre performances. And it did feel like it was like, here we go again. But it was, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It was elevated 10 times over, wasn't it, because of the calibre of the opposition that we were playing? Not in terms of calibre, the lads don't have the ability. Of course they have the ability, they showed that. And you've got to give the credit to Aston Villa, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think they came out and they saw it as a massive opportunity, and they came out with every idea that they were going to come out and shock the world, you know, and they played like that for a half. When push came to shove, I think we were better, we were more physical, more dominant, obviously a more professional team. But yeah, I mean, the most worrying thing is that often enough when a club goes on a run of form like this, it's because their strikers aren't converting. You know, there's chances there, but, you know, strikers aren't just aren't scoring, which has happened over the past 2 years. You know, we've gone on cold spells. Mane, Salah, and Firmino have had streaks of games where they've not scored. You know, it's not unusual. The problem is that we're not creating those chances for them to score. So I thought we were actually fairly clinical today, given the fact that we didn't actually create much, or at least certainly in that first half. And you've got to give it to Aston Villa. They came out and they defended really, really well. They lined up very, very well, five in the midfield. And yeah, it just highlights a problem that we have when teams seem to have figured out this solution that, you know, we're going to let you guys cross and we're just going to stack the wing that you're crossing from and the box. And listen, if you get the odd header, you get the odd header, but we're going to take that chance instead of having you guys playing on the counter or us pushing up the feet, pushing out and having you guys break us down in the midfield.
Yeah, Mick, what the fuck was all that about? Because it looked like the same old shit again, didn't it? We're just playing square balls and we're crossing it in, and it just felt so fucking boring that we weren't going through the middle and trying little things. It was really fucking frustrating.
Well, it gets, and like I know we're not in great form at the minute, but we get too predictable, like Tim says. Like, it's like, right, we're going to play it out to the wing, we're going to cross a ball in. If it doesn't happen, we'll shift side to side. But you can see once Thiago came on at half time, like, I think his little ball through to, I can't remember who it was now, but he split like the lines, and then someone was in, and I think we scored off it. I think it was the Genie goal, wasn't it? Was it the Genie goal? I'm losing track.
Probably was. He split the lines, then the ball had come back out, and then Genie just slotted it in from the edge of the area. So yeah, you're right. But like I said, mate, when you look at how frustrating that first half was, but you know, we'll come on to Thiago in a minute. It was really annoying because it was sort of like play a few square balls and put it back to Henderson, and Henderson will play it at the far post. That was the routine for quite a while, that first half, wasn't it? And you could see the Villa players gaining in confidence, growing in confidence, which ultimately led to their goal.
Yeah, well, like we scored quite early, and then the still, obviously we were pressing quite a lot, but we weren't really creating anything. That was the thing, and they were holding us out quite well. And it's the same thing like we've done in the last couple of games. The longer the game goes on, that of course they're going to grow in confidence, because they're probably coming into this game thinking, right, if we concede three in the first half, we've done all right, and they've only conceded one, and they've ended up going in level at half time. So that confidence is growing. I think we just needed a bit of a change, and obviously once Thiago comes onto the field, you can see like just those like breaking passes, like just splitting like whole midfields. Like, he's got that ability to do that. I think Henderson's obviously got that ability, but it's just like, I don't know if it's like a confidence issue within the whole squad at the minute, that some people are just a bit lacking in that, to try that, because they want to just keep the ball. I think the longer you keep the ball, sometimes it's for the worse, because like, I know it was a very, very young side, but they were set up really well, and they had like two banks of defenders, two banks of, and then obviously a midfield, and then like the strikers were running back as well into wing back positions to try and stifle our wing play. So it was always going to be difficult, but it was probably the best time to play us, really, considering our recent form. So I'm just glad we've got over the line. Like, when we started getting them with the last couple of goals, the first two I didn't celebrate, the third one I was like, yes, come on, like, just that's the final goal we needed to try and like get a couple more. And it was like, I'm just happy that we've got the win, because it seems like a long time since we've actually fucking got that. So
Tim, the worry of winning this game was sort of eradicated within 5 minutes, wasn't it? Because we scored three in 5 minutes, so you've gone from the real being so fucking pissed off the fact that it's 1-1, and you think, right, we're going into the second half, you know, we've only got half an hour left, and it's still fucking 1-1, and it shouldn't be. And then within 5 minutes, it's eradicated. So obviously, Mane gets his second with, again, nice little looping header. It wasn't lucky, you know, the way he arched his neck. It looked like he was obviously trying that as well. Ronaldo with a nice finish, obviously, just before that. And then obviously, Salah gets his customary goal as he likes to do when we're in high scoring games anyway. So yeah, mate, three goals in 5 minutes. Was you like, oh, thank Christ for that?
A little bit, I'm going to be honest, a little bit. I was starting to grow a little worried. I mean, we had started to look better for about 10 minutes previous to that second goal. So I thought, oh, if we don't score now, this is now going to be a, you know, we'll start, the pressure's going to really build on these guys, and it doesn't look like we're going to get anything out of this game, and they might take a chance here. Yeah, it was incredibly frustrating to watch for essentially an hour. And then within 5 minutes, the Liverpool we've come to know over the last 2 years showed up. The Liverpool that could have torn, that tore apart Barcelona in 5 minutes. The Liverpool that tore apart anyone they came across, or could have torn apart anyone they came across, came along and it just blew the game out. But then again, we're accustomed to seeing that for, instead of a 5 minute spell over an entire game, a 25 minute spell, and us, you know, creating those chances as well as taking them. So it's we need more of that. We need more of the creativity. I think the introduction of Thiago was immense. I think that he, just his presence on the pitch means that a defense has to adjust. I think that they know that he can pick out any ball that he looks at. And I think that they then start to open up and the, you can find gaps in that sense. So yeah, it was frustrating, but again, it's every reason we love this club, because in 5 minutes they tore apart a team that had been very, very solid for the previous 60.
Yeah, true. Mick, when we talk about the creativity that Tim just mentioned there, obviously we will come on to the player that you spend a lot of time in your room alone thinking about. But what I want to talk about is Xherdan Shaqiri, who comes on and practically gets himself 2 assists. And he can't be locked in Klopp's basement anymore, because he is an asset. And okay, yeah, we were playing the Villa's young kids, but obviously they've done really, really well. And it took him and Thiago coming on to add that creativity that we've been missing. And yeah, so just a word on Shaqiri for us, please, Mick.
I think he's boss. I absolutely love Xherdan Shaqiri. It's just that he can't keep himself fit long enough. And I think if he changes that, I will happily have him around for as long as he wants to stay, because he just oozes class. He can play the ball into him at like 300 miles an hour and he'll just control it and just turn and go bang, play it in behind. And he's got that ability, and we just need to get him fit. And if he can do that, he's in the squad every time without doubt, because like you said, two assists tonight, wasn't it? So like having him and Thiago in the same team is like having a cheat code in a way, because interchangeable, like passes behind the defense, picking those little pockets up, making little clever runs, cute passes in and behind. They've both got everything. So yeah, if Shaq can stick around, then I mean, I think he'd done an interview recently saying he's back now and he wants to prove his worth to the club and to the team. Then yeah, if he's gonna back those words up and actually show it on the pitch, then fair enough, because we know he's got class. He's shown it. And when you think of Shaqiri since he signed, you think of like United game, you think of the Everton game where we won 5-2, but it's like they're too spaced. All these memories we've got of him are too far apart. There's too much injuries in between the good moments. Obviously the Barcelona game, the boss ball in for Gini, but the two, like, it's like, okay, maybe five moments, but it's like
eight, yeah, I know what like, you mean, mate.
6 months apart, because he's had an injury in between, and it's like he's got that ability, but we just need to see it more often, because he's not getting any younger and he needs to show it now. Otherwise, he's going to end up going somewhere else and being their star player and maybe doing really well for someone else. But if he stays at Liverpool, obviously it's going to be huge for us, and we need him now, especially more than ever, because we've lost a lot of key players. So if he can come in and prove his worth, then fucking sound by me.
Yeah. Tim, I've got a question from Captain Yellow Shirts. If it wasn't United next, would you bench Salah and play Shaq? I'm always frustrated beyond belief lately. Matt Ramirez, you know, his internet's clearly working. He's not on with us, which we're absolutely gutted about. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe he's just had, you know, too many bevies. Maybe he's just sat on his balcony. But Matt, we love you and we miss you. But he makes a good point, doesn't he, Tim? It's because Matt would have said it on the show anyway, because I know Matt said this quite a while about making changes like that and making bold change, and Matt's got a really good point there. Would you do that?
No. No. He is the one man that on the field that I would trust to get a goal in every big game, in every big moment. You know, he's that guy. He's our guy. He's the goal scorer. He's that person for us. And I think that taking him out would significantly reduce our chances of scoring game to game. Now, what I would do is probably throw Shaq into the midfield, maybe play a 4-2-3-1 and throw him in at number 10. But to take what the person who has been our top scorer this season, the top scorer over the well, since he's come in, who scored 100 plus goals in the three and a half, four seasons he's been with us. Not quite, not there yet. And he can not score for another 10 games, and I still wouldn't change my mind about that.
Yeah. No, fair enough, mate. And at the end of the day, Shaq set up the goal for Salah. So if Salah was on the pitch, Shaq sets that goal up and no one puts it in the back of the net, obviously. Mick, are you agreeing with him that Salah plays against United regardless?
I am. Yeah. You know how much I love Mo Salah. He's a little beautiful bastard, as my little beer mat. Shout out to whoever made this. Don't know who it was. Can't remember. But yeah, I love Salah. He's the first name on Team G for me because he's like, I know he's not been in great form recently, but we were saying this in pre-season. We were like, oh, Salah doesn't look quite on it. Then I think he got a hat trick into Leeds and he just absolutely bangs in loads of goals. So
yeah,
doubt him at your pedal because it wouldn't, like Tim said, it wouldn't surprise me if we got United come next Sunday. He bags a couple and wins the game for us, or he gets the only goal and wins the game for us. So he would be the only person I wouldn't take out. Obviously, Mane's a close second at the minute. But, yeah, 4-2-3-1 sounds good.
It does. How you
fit that in, and it all depends on how they set up as well. So I think Shaq is obviously a bench option for now. Obviously, I don't know. He played well tonight, but in terms of fully fit and match fitness, match sharpness, he's probably not quite there yet because he's only just came back. So bench option coming off, maybe 60 minutes if we need a goal, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, when we're looking at it here, and Mick, I'll just stick with you on this one. I'm just looking at the stats now. So obviously, possession was 83%, which, you know, is no surprise there, with 29 shots at goal. So again, when you look at that on paper, you think, right, well, that's a tale of the game and the way people expected it to go. But obviously, we know different from the first half. But one of the things about that 83% possession, because a lot of that work in that second half went through a particular player, and that is our number six, Thiago, who comes on the pitch. And I just want to spend a few minutes now just chatting about him, of just how fucking lucky are we to have this player, because he's absolutely incredible. Albeit, yeah, we're playing against a team that are inexperienced and all that sort of stuff, but still, some of the no-look passes, the balls into the channel where you're expecting it to go out wide and it goes straight to the feet, which leads to a goal. It's hard to sum him up, really, isn't it? Especially when a player that's made, what, five or six appearances and he's making impact the way he does.
Yeah, I've got no words for the fella. I absolutely love him. Like I've said a couple of times, I'll get me kit off for him. But he's just.
Tweet him, mate. He might let you.
He's a joy to watch. He's an absolute joy. Like he's just the way he passes the ball. I've never seen anything like it. Like he's just. I have watched him just passing a ball 5 yards all day, just to a brick wall and back. That's how much I rate him. Like he's just. He's terrific, and it is a shame that he's had these injuries. Like, and he's not played. Like, I think that was his fifth game today, weren't it, for us? Which is like, when we signed him, we were hoping he was going to be a main fixture in the team and come in and shake up the midfield, maybe, and give us a bit of that creativity in there. But and he's proved that, but he just hasn't been on the pitch enough to show it. Obviously, the passes, like the pass I said before, was it through to Shaq or was it to Genie? I can't remember now, but it was through to someone. He just basically cut the lines completely. And it's like, usually our midfield would just play that out to the fullback. And he's just like, right, fuck this. I'm going to swerve that straight through the midfield, cut it open, and then we're through. And like midfield and defences panic at those balls. Like they absolutely panic, and they'll panic when he gets on the ball because he can produce magic moments like that. Like, albeit obviously we know that they were a hugely very young team and they've done really well, but he can do that against the best teams in the Premier League and the best teams in the world. So I can't wait to see that on Sunday and next Sunday, I mean. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't start, because we need that in midfield. And it's not even that. It's not even just the creativity. It's the passing, like I've mentioned. He's great in the air. It's the tenacity and the challenge. He's got everything. I think people don't really appreciate that, because I've got a few Man United mates who say like, oh, he's just a show pony. He's just a one trick pony. He's got good passing and good dribbling maybe, and that's about it. But the ability in the air and the tenacity and the challenge, and like you can see the leadership on the field, like telling people where to go. They're running into space to go, give me the fucking ball, like give me it now, and like I'll sort the attack out. Leadership skills, like he's got everything. And like you said, Jay, we're so lucky to have him in this team, because we need someone like that now who can drive us out of, I know it's only a small blip, but if anyone can do it, he can.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it, Tim, that the blip that we're in at the minute has cost us dramatically, because we should be quite comfortable at the top of the league, albeit with City and United having games in hand, and obviously that isn't the case right now. So, you know, I'm just looking now where the fourth round of the FA Cup is now. So when you look at it, the fourth round proper is the 23rd of January. So again, we're now through to the next round. The draw's being made on Monday, I believe. So the fixtures are going to pile up now, aren't they? And if, when you look at the priorities and all that sort of stuff, obviously everyone expected us to sort of get through tonight based on the team that we were playing. But when you look at what's happening now in the league, it's quite difficult to predict now, isn't it? Because it's a worrying time, but with Thiago playing the way he is at the minute and Mick saying, obviously, he needs to start, he can be the catalyst, can't he? Excuse me. Because if we beat Manchester United and he's the catalyst to it, we can go on a run there which can just see us stay at the top of the league. And obviously, we have to wait for City to decide what they want to do with their games done. But it can definitely give us a kick up the arse, can't it?
Yeah, I think that Thiago, or Liverpool signing Thiago, was every Premier League manager's worst nightmare, because it was like, as we've experienced over the last few weeks, when he's not quite been in the squad or he's just coming back, teams are starting to figure out how to play against Liverpool and loading up at the back and giving us real problems, breaking teams down.
Good point.
But putting that man in the middle means that they can't do that. And not only does that open up the game that we've been good at for two and a half years and dominated world football with, it allows us to expand that and actually add something else to it, which means that they not only have to defend Trent and Robbo and Mane and Salah on the wings, they now have to probably defend balls through the middle and all that kind of stuff. So he is quite possibly as important as any player we've had in terms of the run we're about to make.
Yeah.
In terms of this being a busy schedule, this is the business end of the season. If we're going to win the Premier League, the next month and a half will probably win it for us. In terms of, we need to get as many results as possible out of the next month and a half and put distance between us and the two Manchester clubs. And if Chelsea go on a run, or if anyone else goes on a run, because if we continue, you know, with the last three games we've drawn two and lost one, that's the first time in 3 years that's happened. You know, so it's not, you know, comfortable ground for us. So we really need to come out and striding kind of like into February and March and really put some distance between our clubs, especially considering the fact that Man United can't really play. They struggle playing twice a week, and their European fixtures are starting up again in a couple of weeks. Our European fixtures are starting up in a month or so. And, you know, it's really kind of important that we kind of get as much as we can out the next month.
Yeah, make your thoughts now after that performance. Can we give, you know, it's going to give the lads a lot of confidence. We scored four goals in a game, which is great. We've not done that since Palace, but obviously, and then Thiago's played the way he is. He's obviously going to start the game against Manchester United, providing he stays fit. It's encouraging, isn't it? And this could be the catalyst now to go on, hopefully.
I hope it can be, but it's... The only thing that concerns me, it doesn't worry me when we go to, like, we bring those big teams to the Anfield or we go to their place. We always seem to raise our game that extra 5% that we need to get over the line. Like, it's the West Broms and, like, no disrespect, Newcastle, who are going to set up and 10 men behind the ball and go ahead, fucking try and bring us down. And like Tim said, we've got Thiago now, but we're kind of, now that he's back in the team, we're kind of going, right, all our problems are solved. Thiago's back, because he'll unlock the door, and he can only do so much if...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if Salah's not on his A game, which he's not, then that takes out Trent as well, because Trent's like, well, I won't play it down the wing because Salah's not in great form. And then that makes puts more pressure on Trent. It's a whole domino effect on the whole team. But tonight was a good step forward. It was a very little step forward, because obviously the level of opposition we were playing, they'd done really well. Fair play to Villa, they'd done excellently. But we got a win, which was what we needed, especially after going in 1-1 at half time. But it's promising signs. And we've got United on 17th, then we've got Burnley at home as well on the 21st. Then they don't come any easy. We've got Spurs away, 28th, West Ham away, 31st, and then Brighton at home, Man City at home, Leicester away. So it's just like
the FA Cup tie sandwiched in between them as well.
Yeah. So we're just going to have to. I think Liverpool do better when the games are flying. I think a lot of fans do worry when there's a big gap like there is now between now and next Sunday. I think a lot of fans are worrying that too much of a break is more of a hindrance than a help. But
yeah,
tonight was a good step forward, and it's obviously Mane got two boss goals, two boss headers. He's so good in the air. Salah got one. That can, even if it gives him 2%. An advantage going into the next game, then it's all good for us. And I think Thiago, another 45 minutes in the legs, also a positive. There's loads of positives tonight, and we just need to take that forward to next Sunday, which is, I just can't absolutely wait for it. It's going to be boss.
It is indeed, mate. Well, you know, we're going to finish on that positive as well, mate, because the only negative right now is my pint's empty, so I'm going to go and get a refill. That was the match review show. We really appreciate you joining us as well. Obviously, if you join us after the live show again, thank you very much. Please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about the game, and let us know why you think that Liverpool are going to do going forward. My thanks to Tim, as usual. Thank you to Mick, as usual, and we will see you next time. Podcast Network.